Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Listen, you know what motivated Peter and what should motivate us is to live in the sense of knowing that I'm submitting for the benefit of the lost.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Hearts of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Continuing our study of how to be hope-filled in hurtful times, Pastor shares with us a message from 1 Peter chapter 2 called Pressing On When Ripped Off.
1 Peter chapter 2, we are preaching through the book of 1 Peter. Let me go back and rehearse with you a few of those messages that led up to what we're talking about today, if not for your benefit, for mine as well. But the overarching theme was hope-filled in hurtful times, and Peter knew that his world that he was speaking to in the day were talking to Christians that had been discouraged and depressed, had been through many, many hardships and difficulties, had been scattered out of Jerusalem, out of Rome, up into what we would know as the Wild West, up in an area that had been forsaken. And there are a lot of difficulties and struggles. So we talked about in this first point of being hope-filled in hurtful times. Then we moved forward, and Peter, in this particular book, talked about how we can smile in suffering. We talked about suffering and all that as a Christian, the pathway to godliness is God using the difficulties in order for us to see His way. And then in addition to that, we moved into a topic that Peter talked about in 1 Peter 1, 13 to 21, about being clean in a corrupt society and the importance of God's holiness, how that is displayed through our lives as Christians on this earth. Portraits of pulling together we talked about, and then today I want to talk about the area of being pressed on when ripped off. What do we do when people end up taking advantage of you, and how the advice of Paul was so complimentary to the advice here at Peter, and it's so important for us today. Let's read this out loud together, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 20, okay? Let's do that, and then we'll finish out the rest of these verses in speaking today. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. We'll finish the rest of verse 21 through 25 as we preach on the topic of being pressed on when ripped off. In a world in which we live, we as Christians are not of this world. We're in this world, but not of this world. And that is such a comforting message to those that as Christians at times do get taken advantage of, do get ripped off, do end up having events happen to them that are unfair, unjust. And yet, realize again, as many of us that travel, all of us, if you're living on Guam, somewhere along the line, you can be off this island and going to another country, another land, you know as soon as you step on, you have a different passport, you have a different language, you have a different whole other lifestyle about it, and you never feel totally comfortable. You always feel like, I don't know that I'm home. That's the idea that Peter says to a group of Christians. Listen, don't end up searching for and taking your whole life trying to get yourself comfortable and convenient. As a Christian, don't take your time and energy to constantly try and justify yourself because people are coming against you. Even as we know these believers, as Christians, as Jewish Christians, other Jews attacking them because they were, in their mind, forsaking this religion for who this Jesus was. And there was all kinds of pressures from inside as well as out. That was the whole setting. They were coming at times, many feeling very discouraged and a sense that I need something. And this is why Peter wrote the whole epistle, as short as it is, to remind them, listen, there is hope. In hurting times, there is hope. We walk through these topics and it leads us to today, I think, a very familiar passage in many of these, but in the context of it, it is transcultural, it's trans-country, it is trans-dispensational in its time, in its message, it's so important. It was no difference in Spurgeon's time of events that happened to him. As his ministry grew through the Lord doing awesome things that happened in his 40-year period, this guy was the Prince of Preachers. There were huge things that were going on during Spurgeon's day. And yet at the same time, Spurgeon had all kinds of things coming at him. You can read about his own physical difficulties with gout, with rheumatoid fever and rheumatic fever that was racking his body. He at times went into depression. Along with that, the secular city many times had huge focus points on him and his ministry and their life and all kinds of persecution there, as well as the religious circles that the downgrade controversy of his speaking out against some doctrines that weren't right. And it wasn't this smooth, easy going, look at this wonderful, all of this awesome. The fact is, anytime God is at work, Satan's at war. That is the formula. And here you end up finding Peter. No different it was with you find the gospel witness of Spurgeon his day. The reality is that there was a message to be given that was so important. What was it? Let me give to you what I would put this text in basically motivations that Peter was saying to these people. This is what needs to motivate you to live in a world that you live in. And unless that motive is right, you're not going to end up finding what Peter's wanting them to find. These are the motivations. You find it, first of all, very simply, that he was suggesting and stating very clearly from verse 11 and 12 that you need to be able to be in a place to submit for the benefit of the lost. Look what he says here in verse 11 and 12, and he basically gives four of these pictures. Notice, if you would, the ways in which we relate to the lost. Verse 11 and 12, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." You know what he's saying? Listen, you know what motivated Peter and what should motivate us is to live in the sense of knowing that I'm submitting for the benefit of the lost. This term submission you find throughout the scriptures, but particularly Peter uses this term multiple times. Fact is, a bigger picture view of this is when he says you need to be submissive to multiple authorities in your life. He mentions the government, we're going to mention in a minute. He mentions the area of marriage. He mentions the area of the church. And he mentions the area also of employers. Two of those four we're going to talk about today. And he says, if you're going to end up being successful, you can't go into life with a protest mentality. I'm going to get my picket signs and I'm going to end up fighting against everything that shouldn't be. And you find some people with an attitude of life that way. And if they don't like it, they're going to speak up and say it and make sure you know it. And Peter here is saying, let me give you a perspective and let me help you understand that a real motive, one would be you learn to submit and you learn to submit on behalf, or excuse me, in benefit for the lost people. And these are the pictures he uses. He uses the idea of the dearly beloved children in verse 11. Because he's identifying eight times in these two epistles, he's reminding them of his love for them. And like little children, he cares so much for them. As Peter now, the older man, the apostle, the aged guy, that they were like children to him, saying, hey, I love you. This is why I'm telling you this. In addition to that, he says another way you're going to relate to them is understanding that we are strangers, and I use this idea with citizenship in another country. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's what God says. So our citizenship isn't here on this earth. So understanding it very clearly, like the patriarchs of old, we are temporary in this life. We're traveling towards that heavenly city, mentions it in Hebrews 11. And if I can take that term, when I understand if I'm not living for this temporary life, I'm living for another world, then my investments go there. My world goes there. You don't need to worry about, well, I'm so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. Very, very few people I know that live that way. The fact is, we live in a world in which Peter is saying, and Paul as well had said, listen, we're strangers. Third one, he mentions the idea of warring against your soul, these fleshly lusts that war against your soul. And those idea, very simply, is we're soldiers. We're involved in a spiritual battle, and the battles are internal. This isn't just dealing with the area of fleshly desires like we think of sexual desires. It's the whole idea of desires I have for my little world, and that's what starts controlling our decision-making. Well, if it's best for me, and, you know, I got to make sure and get all my bases covered because, you know, you got to keep what you can and can what you keep and hold on to it all. And Peter is saying very simply, listen, you are like my little children. You're like strangers. You're like soldiers. In fact, is D.O. Moody, when asked about who's his greatest difficulty and struggle, he very simply made the statement, I have more trouble with D.O. Moody than with any man I know. That's wisdom. He realized, listen, my struggle is really not with anybody and everybody. My struggle is right here. And this is what Peter is saying very simply. You end up abstaining from fleshly lust. They're warring against your soul. And lastly, he says, because verse 12, you're witnesses to the lost around you. Notice what he says in verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. The Gentiles has nothing to do with the race. It's a synonym for the unsaved people. And you live honest, or the idea of, it carries the idea of beauty. You live beautifully in a very ugly world. And that beauty is what's going to draw people to say, you are different than this ugly, sin-filled world that I live in. How can you maintain that beauty in your spirit? And the reality is, when you read this, you realize this is what was motivating Peter, and he was saying it to those believers in that day when he says, whereas they're going to speak evil against you as a Christian, they're not going to be complimentary about you. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised that people are going to speak bad about you. But notice what Peter says is that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, that they may be and seeing your good works. Your good works don't lead you to heaven. They follow you to heaven. And those good works is what God's going to use in that beauty of your good works for people to be drawn to Christ. And this is how Peter says it. They're going to behold, they're going to see that, they're going to glorify God.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.